difficult to understand what is actually religion, even if one is situated in the principles of morality and non-violence. It is very confidential, because as soon as one is conversing with the real principles of religion, he is at once liberated to the eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Therefore, one who is not situated in the principles of devotional service to the Lord should not pose himself as a religious leader of the innocent public. The Ishopanishad emphatically forbids this nonsense in the following mantra: Andandama pravishanti ye sambhutam upashite tata buyevate tamo yau sambhutyam rata. A person in ignorance of the principles of religion, who does nothing in the matter of religion, is far better than a person who misguides others in the name of religion without reference to the factual religious principles of devotional service. Such so-called leaders of religion are sure to be condemned by Brahma and other great authorities. Such non-devotees engage their senses in very troublesome and extensive work, and they suffer insomnia at night because their intelligence constantly breaks their sleep with various mental speculations. They are frustrated in all their various plans by supernatural power. Even great sages, if they are against your transcendental topics, must rotate in this material world. Oma jnanatimarandasya jnanangina salakaya chaksuru militam yena tasmaya shri gurave nama sri chaitanya marumbistam shapitam yenam bhutale Svayam rupa gita mayam dadati svam vadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Girara Shiva Sri Gaur Vakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma's prayers for creative energy. So we'll read a few verses just previous to this. The Lord Brahma is glorifying the Supreme Personality of God. He says, "O great actor, my Lord, all these poor creatures are constantly perplexed by hunger, thirst, severe cold, secretion and bile, attacked by coughing, winter, blasting summer, rains and many other disturbing elements, and overwhelmed by strong sex urges and indefatigable anger. I take pity on them and I am very much aggrieved for them. O my Lord, the material miseries are without factual existence for the soul. Yet as soon as the conditioned soul sees the body as meant for sense enjoyment, he cannot get out of the entanglement of material miseries being influenced by your external energy. Such non-devotees engage their senses in very troublesome and extensive work, and they suffer insomnia at night because their intelligence constantly breaks their sleep with various mental speculations. They are frustrated in all their various plans by supernatural power. Even great sages, if they are against your transcendental topics, must rotate in this material world." So, the beauty of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as it says in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, the great sages of Namishranya, Savai Pamsam Parodamo Yato Bhakti at Hokshache, Ohoitaki Apratiyata, Yayatma Supersedity, that the difference between Bhagavad philosophy and any other philosophy is that it deals exclusively with the function of the soul. And the whole essence of the Bhagavatam is actually the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the material world, everything has a particular function. We see that everything has a natural function, and the purity of the function is what gives the actual thing its reality. just like water. The function of water is that it has a taste. It has the function of relieving thirst. If water is mixed up with anything else, just like, for instance, if you take water and you put some cyanide in the water, then the whole function of the water becomes completely different. Instead of giving life-supporting benefit, actually it kills the person. So the function, of the living entity is very, very important, because in the material world we are also functioning, but we are malfunctioning. Due to association with the impure atmosphere, because the very nature of the material world is that it is full of darkness. It is full of ajnana. Ajnana timirandasya, that in the material world there is always darkness. And everyone, without exception, they are all suffering from the influence of this material energy. Just like in the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, he was also situated in this darkness. Actually, the Bhagavatam begins with the creation of Lord Brahma creating the material universe, and we can see that Lord Brahma was also bewildered. In the beginning, he was bewildered because everywhere around him there was darkness. And he could not understand, on account of this darkness, he couldn't understand what was his position. He couldn't understand, why am I here? Neither could he understand what is the purpose of being there. So as it says, that janmadisyata itaratashchatesyu abhigyasvara tene brahma hridaya adhikavaye mayantiya surya tejo varni mridamyata vinyamayo yatra trishagomasa tamnasvenaka kuakam sachem parandime. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from within the heart, he revealed to Lord Brahma, Hridaya Adhikavaya, he revealed from within the heart this transcendental knowledge. So, in the material world, actually, the whole material world, it is misdirecting. The nature of the material world is that we are being misdirected. Just like Krishna says in the Gita, Mamaya Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mamasa Stani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. That the living entities, they are my part and parcels, and they are in me, and they are mine. But due to conditional life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So the living entity in the material world, we are struggling very, very hard with the senses. And the chief sense is the mind. The mind is the sense which lies within. So the mind is the reservoir of all the activities of the various senses. Just like we are seeing that we are constantly bringing things. The nature of the living entity in the material world is that he wants to bring everything to his service. We want to engage everything in our service. We are very anxious for that. So therefore, we are naturally inspecting. We inspect the material world with our eyes, we are inspecting with our nose, we are inspecting with our tongue, with our sense of touch. We are seeing that if there's something which can serve me very nicely here. So we tend to always be in the position of observing. There are three things. There is the observer, the instruments for observation, and the object of observation. So these are explained by Kapila Muni also in the third canto later on. So He is describing how the senses are constantly interacting with the various objects of the senses in the shape of different types of forms, different types of tastes and touch and smells, different types of hearing. So, therefore, the contamination of the senses is very, very powerful. This material energy is very, very powerful. And the living entity is very, very tiny. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The actual nature of the living entity is that he is Sanatana. He has no business with anything which is not Sanatana. So therefore, this function in the material world, it is a perverted function. Because we are all very, very busy, just like here Lord Brahma is explaining that the non-devotees engage their senses in very troublesome and extensive work. The nature of the living entity is that they are very, very busy. Now, this function of busyness, it is naturally there because the living entity is dynamic. We are full of life. The very nature of consciousness is life. We are full of that thing of life. But unfortunately, consciousness is manifested through dead, dull matter. So we are using our subtle consciousness. We see practically how the mind, the intelligence is very, very active, very, very agile, very, very intense in creating so many different varieties of sense gratification. And there is huge industry, just like we see with television. The nature of television, of course, you see how, because it is, the television is created from the mind. Therefore, it is a much superior type of creation. It is created with great mental activity. So therefore, we see in cinema, television, there are so many different types of stories, movies, and people are completely infatuated by all of these various types of things. But at the same time, if we see that all of these things, they are simply different types of adjustment. We are just simply making different types of adjustment. The basic principle of the whole thing is that we are trying to exploit the material world. We are trying to exploit the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this exploitation, of course, in the animal kingdom, so we see that in the animal kingdom, the exploitation is very gross. It is simply eating. There is some very nice, not so nice, but there are things to eat. There is some mating activity. There is plenty of sleeping and defending, fearing, anxiety. So in the human form of life, because the consciousness becomes more and more developed, therefore the activities become very sophisticated. There is huge arrangement. If you go anywhere in the world, you will find that there is tremendous arrangement. Big, big skyscraper buildings, huge factories, enormous amount of endeavor. But the basic principle is the same. The same principle is there. There is some eating going on. There is some sleeping going on. There is some sex life going on. And there is anxiety going on. There is fearing going on. There is nothing actual special going on. It is the same old thing. The same old thing, chewing on the chewed. Constantly the living entity is chewing and chewing. So, we can understand that the this material function in the material world does not actually give any pleasure to the living entity. Actually, it causes great anxiety. Because the very nature of material activity is that it dulls the consciousness. The more and more that we associate with the material world, therefore we become more and more dull. We become more and more gross. And the more gross we become, the more our animal propensities come into existence. So therefore, sometimes in society, because people can see that the materialistic life is very, very gross, so sometimes people, they create different types of so-called religiosity. They make religion in the form of morality, in the form of non-violence, so many different types of religious belief. But we see that if you study these religions, actually they are kaitava, they are cheating religion, because they are still based upon the same principle that I am this material body, and that these senses are related to me, and that I am somehow connected with the objects of this material world, that I'm somehow connected with this material world. So these types of religions, they do not actually give any relief. They do not give any relief. They give, you see, if you go around the world, there are so many religions. And factually speaking, you'll find that even though these religions are very prominent around the world, but still the people, they're not actually satisfied. They're not feeling any actual detachment from the material world. They are still engaged in intoxication. There is still gambling, meat-eating, illicit sex going on. They are still engaged predominantly in economic development and sense gratification. But there is some little idea of some kind of liberation. We see that in the Christian religion, the idea of going to some place called heaven. Or in the Muslim religion, there's also some idea of going to a higher plane. But even if you study that, still, the whole idea of the religion is that you will gain another level of sense gratification. In other words, they're very aware that in the material world, that the sense gratification is not satisfying, that there's not any real proper satisfaction of the senses. So therefore, generally, they become religious out of frustration, different types of frustration. So then they're very much attracted to the fruits of those religions. The fruits of those religions might be that you go, when you die, you're going to go to another place where there's heaven, where there's beautiful gardens, and where you can enjoy some sort of extended sense gratification or super sense gratification. So these religions are actually, they are sub-religion, because they are not actually explaining the function of the soul. So therefore, the sages of Naimisharanya said, Savai pam samparo dhammo yato bhakti yad hoksaje ahoitiki apratiyata, that the supreme occupational duty for mankind is by that which one, the man, attains to transcendental loving service under the glorious Lord. Such devotional service must be uninterrupted, unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. So, the if you like, the result of Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness is that one must becoming free from all types of motivation. One must actually see that I'm no longer looking for some actual result in my devotional service. And this also we have to be careful of in Krishna consciousness, because Maya is very powerful. So therefore, sometimes with the idea of renunciation or with the idea of spiritual life, we still try to create some sort of favorable environment by which we can dominate the material world, by which we can bring the material world into our service. So sometimes even in Krishna consciousness, we are creating just like nice big temples, nice big facilities. And sometimes we also see those facilities as some sort of reward or some sort of aspiration in our devotional service. Sometimes also we want to establish ourselves within the institution in some sort of superior way or in some sort of fruitive way. And this is also very, very dangerous, because the senses are very powerful, the mind is very powerful. And actually, even for one who is very, very serious about devotional service, but sometimes there may creep in some unwanted anattas within the heart. So it is very imperative, it is very important that the devotee actually realizes that the real object of Krishna consciousness, the actual purpose of Krishna consciousness, is to become attracted to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If we do not actually develop an attraction for Krishna, if we do not develop love for Krishna, then the actual exercise itself is fruitless. It is not bringing any actual fruit, because religion is also a materialistic thing. In other words, that in the material world, that's why Krishna says sarvai pam samparod that's why Krishna says sarva dhamma pratyaja mamekam saranam vraja aham tam sarva pape vyo mukshishami masucha. That's why Krishna is actually saying that you have to give up religion. This is very contradictory, because the whole Bhagavad Gita seems to be emphasizing that we should become more religious, that we should actually become more and more dharmic. And we see practically example in India, that in India there are so many people following to some degree or shape or form the Vedic literature. But there are very few of them who actually have unadulterated devotion and love for Krishna. So this is the tendency in religion, that actually religion is very, very difficult for anyone to understand, because in one sense it's very, very simple, but in another sense it becomes very, very complex. Just like Prabhupada says, that this Krishna consciousness is so simple that you will miss it. Because sometimes we are so much enamored by the external things of the material world that we also bring this into religion. We actually carry these material concepts onto the plane of religiosity. And just like Krishna says, the different types of people that come to him, some of them they're in distress, they're because of frustration with the material world, they come to him. Others, they come because they want some benefit, they want some reward, they want some result. Others come because they're inquisitive. The inquisitiveness, that is also some sort of aspiration. And the other, they come because they're in search of knowledge. And even those who come in search of knowledge, although that's the highest reason, even then, actually that knowledge, just like one time Prabhupada was explaining, that we say daily that by regular attendance of the Bhagavatam class and rendering services on the pure devotee, all that is to trouble someone in the heart becomes practically destroyed. So Prabhupada said, what does it mean, practically destroyed? Why doesn't it say destroyed? So even in Krishna consciousness, sometimes because the philosophy is very, very powerful, so sometimes by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, sometimes actually we also become a little proud. We become proud that actually I am very learned. So this knowledge is also very, very essential for Krishna consciousness, but we should also understand that the knowledge is there for the service of Krishna. Even knowledge, even that everything that we take from this Krishna consciousness, everything that we take is purely and utterly for the pleasure of Krishna. So even if you come to Krishna and you take knowledge, if you misuse it in any kind of way, in other words, if you use that knowledge to establish yourself in some sort of powerful way, or some sort of jnani, or I'm very, very learned, or very, very advanced in knowledge, then that also can create some anathas in the heart. So we see the practical example in Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj. Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj was actually illiterate. He couldn't even write his own name. He was from a very simple background. And yet at the same time, he was the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, who Srila Prabhupada says was his brain was so powerful, so wonderful, that he could remember practically every single thing he'd ever read in his life. He could quote even the Britannic Encyclopedia from memory. He had a most wonderful brain power. He was very, very advanced in transcendental knowledge. His knowledge of Vedic literature was supernatural. But at the same time, he was instructed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur Prabhupada, his father, to take shelter of Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj as his spiritual master. So Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, he wouldn't accept him because he felt completely unqualified to take any disciples. He never took any disciples in his lifetime. And he lived a very renounced life. He was constantly in a kind of avaduta state. He was completely renounced from the material world. And therefore he would not accept Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But at the same time, if you see how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur speaks about Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, you can understand that actually his qualifications are supreme. And he was so humble that he would always come, many times he would come and sit with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and listen to his class. He would listen to his classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a householder and had many children, who seemingly was engaged in the materialistic way of life. So we can understand from the lives of these great acharyas that there is no material consideration in regards to Krishna consciousness. The actual thing, just like one time they asked Srila Prabhupada that how will I know when I see a spiritual master, how will I know what is a bona fide spiritual master? And Prabhupada said, you simply find someone who is mad after Krishna. So someone who is madly in love with Krishna, that is the actual function of the soul. So the whole business of religiosity, the actual business of Sanatan Dharma or Vaidhi Bhakti, the whole business of devotional service is actually to bring about attachment to Krishna. If we don't have attachment to Krishna, then how can love come? How can love develop? So that is why this love for Krishna is actually very, very rare. Even to great sages and demigods, Tejo Varni Mridam Yata Vinimayo Yatra Trishago Masha, that the material world is created just like a very wonderful mirage in the desert. It is the mirage of the material world is that there is everything in the material world except Krishna. You can get anything you want there. You can get anything as far as you can become very powerful, very learned, very handsome, very beautiful, very rich, very famous. You can become very powerful, physical form. You can become a great demigod. You can control the planets. You can become the creator of the universe. You can get anything you want. The whole material world is there to support your independent desires. The living entity in the material world, he has independent desires. So this separation from Krishna, this separation is the cause of all our problems, this separate consciousness. Just like Prabhupada says that Maya means that which is not, but actually Maya means to see anything separated from Krishna. So this separatist mentality, this is the mentality of the material world. And therefore, if that religiosity in any way separates us from Krishna, then that is a bogus religion. That is bogus, that is kaitava, that is cheating religion, because it will not bring you Krishna, it would bring you something else. So the tendency is we see that even in religiosity, in all the different forms and shapes, if you find the root cause behind the activity, there is always some motivation. There is always some aspiration. There is always some desire. Something to be gained from my personal satisfaction. Something to be achieved. So, what is the quality of Krishna consciousness? The quality is that the devotee, he has no desires. He has no material desires. But at the same time, a devotee is very, very active. He is very, very enthusiastic. He is very, very... He is explaining that the materialist, sometimes his sleep is broken by so many plan-making ideas. And we see in the devotee also that, just like Srila Prabhupada, sometimes we would find Srila Prabhupada walking around very late at night. And one devotee, he used to be always up at night. And Prabhupada said, I am also like you. He said, I am also suffering from this insomnia. I cannot sleep. So Srila Prabhupada also, these great acharyas, they also, practically, Raghunath Das Goswami was sleeping over only half an hour at night. So in one sense, we could say that they're also, their sleep is broken. But the difference is that the motivation, their motivation is completely different. Because their motivation is how to glorify Krishna. How to immerse myself in glorifying Krishna. So therefore, if you see that the whole principle of Srimad Bhagavatam is simply to glorify the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the actual function. The function of the soul, just like the function of anything in the material world, it's pure quality like salt, sugar. The function of sugar is to give sweetness. The actual function of the soul is to give pleasure to Krishna. Because the soul, the living entity, is completely dependent. He is an ashrayi. Ashrayi means Bhagavad Ashrayi. He is completely and utterly dependent upon Krishna's pleasure. He has no other function. There is no other function. The living entity has no other function than simply to give pleasure to Krishna. And that function, as soon as it becomes misdirected, then the living entity has no other function than to give pleasure to itself. Egocentric, selfish activity. So this Krishna consciousness is a great science because it is teaching us how from the very first progenitor of mankind, the first creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, we see that Lord Brahma, what is the first business, the very first living entity in this universe, he is setting the example. He is Param Guru. He is our first spiritual master. And what is the first thing he's doing? He's glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's glorifying Krishna. He's glorifying the activities of Krishna. So therefore, he is setting, acharya means one who, by practical example, so Krishna says, satatam kirtayanta mam, that these great devotees, they are satatam kirtayanta mam, they are always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great faith and determination. They worship me with devotion. So, in this Kali Yuga, because the senses are very powerful, the mind is very powerful, and on account of the nature of the age, the material objects are becoming more and more powerful. So therefore, the process has to become very, very powerful. Because the material energy has become very powerful in this age. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself comes to show what is that process. And as Lord Chaitanya says, Harinama, 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 Iva Kevalo, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Katiraniko. That in this age, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way than the Sankirtan, than the chanting of the holy names. So, therefore, this Kirtana, this is practically demonstrated by Lord Brahma, and if we go down, his son, Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, Madhavacharya, we come down all the way into the cyclic succession, we will find that every single spiritual master, without exception, his only business was to glorify Krishna. In every thought, word and action, in every single. So therefore, that was also the exclusive quality of Srila Gokashodas Babaji Maharaj, is that actually his whole life was simply the glorification of Krishna. He was always, his whole business was Hari Bhajan. Hari Bhajan means he was always engaged in the bhajan, singing the bhajans of Krishna. And his disciple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also took up that same, in the beginning, he also followed Gokashodas Babaji in the renounced, a very renounced way. But then later on, Gokashodas Babaji Maharaj told him that no, now you must take this Sankirtan and spread it all over the world. So therefore, under his order, Srila Prabhupada, he came to the Western world to fulfill that desire. And we, as the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we have to be very careful to maintain that glorification of Krishna. As soon as there is a lack, as soon as there is in any way a reduction in the glorification of Krishna, then the whole thing will be ruined. The whole thing will be finished. Because as soon as you minimize the service or glorification of Krishna, then immediately the nature is that we immediately want to glorify ourselves. We immediately want to serve ourselves. So there is no other way, no other way. You may try through jnana. You may become a very big pundit, a very learned personality. You may try through karma, different types of adjustments, different types of activities, different types of so-called arrangements in this material world. But you cannot get away from this point that as soon as you minimize the glorification or the service of Krishna, you will be finished immediately. Because it is upheld by all the Shastras, and therefore it says that this is the highest dharma. Sarvata, that this is the highest dharma, the highest function of the soul is very, very simple. The function of the soul is very simple. Prabhupada said it is simple because you say simply, Krishna, I love you. That is actually what Krishna wants. He simply wants that love. He wants that the living entity should fall in love with him. That is all he's after, is our love. He just wants our affection, our love, and he is not asking anything which is not natural. It is completely natural. It is completely there in us. Just like walking, Srila Prabhupada says, walking is the natural function, but it needs some encouragement. It needs some help. So there is some regulation, there is some assistance, there is some support. But the actual support is not the end. Is not the end in itself. In other words, the different types of systems which are to bring this love out, they are not the end in themselves. The end is actually Krishna consciousness, that we have to become lovers of Krishna. And how do we test that? We test it by how much we're attracted to glorify Krishna. Because if you love someone, you naturally, it is spontaneously natural that you want to please them. And what is more pleasing actually than glorifying someone? It is very, very pleasing. That is why when one lover loves the other, they're always telling each other pleasing things. They're simply nice things, sweet words are there. Because this is natural, that the infatuation between one person, just like Srila Prabhupada said, when someone loves someone very much, then automatically they're thinking about that person in a very, very intense way. Of course, in the material world, that love is completely dulled because of association with inanimate matter. There's no such thing as love in the material world. It is only a perverted reflection. There's only a tiny reflection. But the real love of the soul, the real love of Krishna consciousness, it, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when that love will come, it will be like a huge ocean, unstoppable current. There will be no stopping that current. But in the material, because we are so much contaminated, therefore we have to be very careful to make arrangements so as that love for Krishna can actually come out. And that recommended process is that we should constantly satatam kirtayantam mam, that we should constantly be hearing the transcendental pastimes and messages of Krishna, actually developing a taste for hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. So, are there any questions at all?
Probably you mentioned in the past that Lord Brahma got the knowledge from Prabhupada. So how would that apply to us?
Well, we understand that the first thing Lord Brahma did was he was meditating on his situation. He was totally confused about his situation. And then he caught some sound. You see, his luck, if you like, his luck was that he heard the sound ta and pa. So he, by connecting these words together, tapasya, he could understand by the mercy of Krishna that he had to perform tapasya. So this is the first thing which is required in spiritual life, that one has to perform some tapasya. And that tapasya is very important. But you should understand why we're performing the tapasya is we're performing the tapasya to please Krishna. Again, it's not that we're doing it for selfish gain, but actually to please Krishna. So, as Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you offer or give away, whatever penances you perform, all of these should all be done as an offering unto me. So therefore, Lord Brahma meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by dint of that meditation, he became acquainted with the ocean of truth. And therefore, he wrote these songs of Brahma Samhita, and all of these, all of the Vedic knowledge came from the mind of Lord Brahma, from within the heart of Lord Brahma. So, actually this thing is there also, that we, by performing artapasya, is given that we should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should constantly chant the holy names, minimum 16 rounds. We should avoid anything unfavorable. Follow the regulated principles, no intoxication, no meeting, no gambling, no illicit sex. And these are the basic principles, but the main principle is that we have to develop love for Krishna. All of these other things, unless they bring that love for Krishna, then they are not properly understood. The whole thing of Krishna consciousness is not to follow rules and regulations. There are billions of people following rules and regulations in the material world. Everyone is regulated in the material world. We are regulated by Maya, or we can be regulated by Krishna. But the point is that the regulation, it has to be conducive for developing love for Krishna. So the regulation in itself is not the end goal.